Good morning, everybody. Hey! Wow. Louder! Louder! Yes! Okay. Well, I apologize for some of the technical difficulties, but I think we're up and running now, and so we'll be able to proceed here. Let's see. Oh, they're flipping over here. So this morning, I am going to talk about Azure Compute and cloud applications. Let's switch over to my slide deck here. And so just so you understand who I am and what I work on, let's see here. Yeah, okay. Okay, great. Oh, there we go. All right. We worked so long on the network, we didn't get the slides up. All right, perfect. So let me explain a little bit about who I am and what I work on. So first of all, my name is Corey Sanders, and I am in the product team, so I'm on the engineering team, and I am responsible for all of compute in Azure. So all of the compute technologies in Azure, this includes virtual machines, this includes platform as a service offerings, service fabric containers, and these are all the components that I work on. And today I'm going to walk you through a few of these and actually explain to you how a bunch of them work and explain to you, show some demos on sort of what they do and what's great about them. I am on Twitter, so you can follow me on Twitter. I also have a show that I do. It's a weekly show. It's called Tuesdays with Corey. And it's somewhat of a silly show, and hopefully this session will be somewhat silly for you. And I do have a good time with it. I explain things about the platform as they come out. And to give a little bit more background about who I am, I've always been very interested in business, as you can see from my ridiculous outfit here. And so this was me just a couple years ago. So it's very impressive growth. So very interested in business, even from a very early age. But I've always been interested in doing things in a very unique way, including even wearing hats in a somewhat bizarre way. So this is kind of my history, my background, and as I go through, I'll be able to explain a little bit more. So without further ado, let me jump in and talk a little bit about compute in Azure. So Azure is our cloud platform, as presumably most of you know, and one of the biggest areas of focus that we have in Azure is making sure that we're getting extreme amount of agility so you can spin things up very, very quickly, enabling a democratization of the environment, allowing anyone to deploy anything very quickly. It's really changing the way in which people approach computing and the way in which people approach applications. And so this is a big focus for us, and you'll see as I walk through how this is going to be possible. Another big area for us is, of course, offering hyperscale, offering gigantic availability to you and your applications without you having to go build the data centers and build the environments for it. So large, we're actually up to 30 regions globally. And so this is, of course, more than both AWS and Google combined in the amount of regions and the amount of coverage we have around the globe. So for applications that may be local, you can deploy those, but you can also reach to a much broader base and be able to reach out to a much larger community as you deploy. And each one of these are not sort of the data centers you're running in your basement. These deployments, these large data centers are gigantic. And so this is an example of one in the US. And so this is a huge, huge center. The little circle here at the bottom right, that's me. They called me in. I had to fix a machine. No, just kidding. But that is a car. That is an automobile down here to give you a sense of scale. And so this is one of our US regions, and you can see the amount of buildings, but also the amount of growth that we're seeing, the amount of expansion. Let me show you from the other side. This is that building from the other side. You can see it in the upper left. This is the new construction we have going for the next part of this region, a part of this data center. And so the growth, the amount of coverage and the amount of application that we can deploy in one of these regions times 30. This is really the scale that we're looking at when we think about Azure and what's possible. And while we're paying and deploying in that massive scale, you can come in and deploy just a single VM. and pick anywhere you want, and you pay the price, and you can run it for an hour, you can run it for a minute. And so that is the extremes of the system. You have this massive scale that we're going to go take care of, but you can run it as much as you want and pay for only what you use. So when we look at Azure, and we look at the key areas that we want to enable, there are three big aspects of Azure that we focus on. One being choice and flexibility. A huge amount of options, lots of flexibility, lots of versatility to deploy whatever you want, whenever you want it. We're very focused on being enterprise ready, making sure that large enterprises, startups, all aspects of the business line can deploy in Azure very, very easily. And then productivity, the ability to take not just lift and shift applications, but actually take new generation of applications to be able to write that next wave of solution and get it up quickly and learn from it and improve. And that productivity is very, very critical. You've heard a lot about it yesterday from Donovan and Scott and Scott and about the technology and tools to make that productivity great. I'm going to show you some of the back end about how you can take advantage of the system behind those tools. So starting with choice and flexibility. This has been a really exciting aspect of Azure. A huge amount of the things we do in Azure are focused on open, focused on making sure we support everyone, even when it competes with other services we have at either Microsoft or Azure. And so this includes management. This includes Puppet and Chef, Ansible, Salt, being able to have complete configuration control. It includes our container service, which I'll talk about later. From an application perspective, we have platform as a service offerings. We also support partners with great offerings, including Cloud Foundry and OpenShift. From an app frameworks perspective, I'm sure you've heard this already, the broad range of support from .NET, Node.js, Python, Java, PHP. You can deploy any of these solutions in our application platform and get going. And finally, databases. The whole data platform, both SQL Server and SQL Database, but also support for things like Oracle, IBM DB2, or Hortonworks and Cloudera. Being able to deploy both open source and commercial software all inside of Azure. And of course, the OS. Being able to support Windows Server, being able to support Red Hat, being able to support Canonical, Ubuntu. All of these options allow you to deploy whatever you want, Linux, Windows, all of them are possible in Azure. In addition to those different choices and those different capabilities in Azure, with our new hybrid offering with Azure Stack, you now have choice to run Azure in your own environment. And this is currently in preview, but the ability to deploy the full Azure technology, the full Azure cloud, but on hardware that you're managing in your environments, it increases the optionality, it increases the possibilities of Azure dramatically. So you can now take that app, that solution, that platform offering that you've built and you love in Azure, you can now bring it back into an on-premise environment for compliance, security, whatever the reason may be. This choice and flexibility is very, very powerful to use the cloud in, again, whatever way you want to use it. Being enterprise ready means a lot of things. One is really the amount of enterprise usage that we're seeing. And we continually learn from these partners and customers, whether it be folks like GE Healthcare or NBC deploying applications on top of us, whether it be startups like Jet.com or deployments for new generation of applications like Alaska Airlines or even Ford. Being able to work with these enterprises, being able to learn and deploy and build new solutions with them has created a platform that all of you can use, whether small or large. In fact, 85% of Fortune 500 companies today are using the Microsoft Cloud. And finally, productivity. Productivity means a lot of things. When we look at the full platform that Azure offers, from the productivity tools, which you've already heard a lot about, whether it be Visual Studio, Visual Studio Code, VSTS, solutions like our advanced workloads, whether it be building websites or Internet of Things or being able to do data and analytics, and then, of course, the core infrastructure. all of this comes together to make you extremely productive, to be able to build the app you want as fast as possible, get it into the market, and learn as you go. And this really is a big focus for us as we move forward with Azure. And the momentum has been great. The excitement around Azure has been really impressive. We've seen a huge amount of growth and usage in Azure. In fact, 120,000 customers are joining Azure every month. The amount of folks trying things and building things is just mind-boggling. 1.4 million databases, 2 trillion messages in our IoT system. It's a huge amount, 2 trillion messages. Unbelievable. 5 million organizations are using Azure Active Directory, with more than 4 million developers already using VSTS, which Donovan talked about earlier. And then the one that I particularly like, 40% of our revenue is coming from startups and ISVs, 40%. So while we feel great about that enterprise readiness, we feel great about offering a platform that enterprises can use, we also love the fact that startups and ISVs are using it as well and using it in huge numbers. It's exciting to see the ability to take both ends of the spectrum and make them successful with the Azure cloud. So let me dig in a little bit more and spend a bit more time on the compute side of the house. So from this chart, you can see both an infrastructure level and an advanced workload or platform as a service level. So let me actually dig in. From the infrastructure level, we think of 2 big types. Of course, virtual machines. This is just the spinning up of that instance, the one that you've had on-prem. You can spin a very similar thing up in Azure. We also look at containers and the new wave of Docker containers enabling very fast, very agile infrastructure to be able to deploy your app from dev, test, to production. And so on the Azure side, virtual machines and VM scale sets offer this full support for the VM side. And the Azure Container Service, a new release, in fact, generally available this week, offers this container support that you're looking for. So from a virtual machines perspective, virtual machines has 2 types. We have the standard virtual machine, and this is for you to take your lift and shift applications, be able to deploy whatever application you may have on-prem, you can move it into Azure and get going. We also have scale sets, and this allows massive scale out. You want to deploy 100 instances at once, and you want to then reduce it by 20, and then increase it by 15, and auto-scale. That's where VM scale sets becomes powerful. You don't have to go control all those knobs. You don't have to go in and configure everything. You can just scale with the system, and it handles everything for you. And so with VMs, wide variety, you can run Ubuntu. We have the best Red Hat support of any of the public clouds. Of course, Windows and the full range of support there. SUSE and even CoreOS to be able to deploy that. You can immediately configure them with Chef or Puppet or Salt or Ansible. Like I mentioned, you can auto-scale and auto-configure them as they grow and shrink. And we have multiple sizes. So from small sizes, our A series, the least expensive of the sizes, all the way up to the G series. These guys are huge, up to 500 gig of memory. Fantastic. And then the N series, one that we haven't yet released but will be out soon, which is our GPU SKU. And you can do GPU analytics on that, graphical visualization, and that will enable a whole new set of workloads to be able to deploy into Azure. And of course, hundreds and hundreds of partners deployed and available in our marketplace. From solutions like Oracle, or DataStax, or Cloudera, solutions like New Relic, CoreOS, Veeam, ScaleArc, all of these to enable you to be productive, you to get going quickly, and you to only pay for what you want when you want it. Moving on to containers. This is really where I'll focus. For containers, we just recently announced the service. It's now generally available this week. And we've taken a different approach to containers. So once you've got that baseline virtual machine and you've deployed on top of it, if now you're looking to deploy containers, you may end up finding you have to deploy a lot of containers to do the work you're looking to do. Containers are very fast, They effectively simulate a virtual machine, but much smaller, much quicker. And you can get your app rolling very, very fast. But once you do that, you've got many of them to deal with. Hundreds, even thousands of containers to understand when they're going to be used and how. And this is where the container service comes in. The Azure Container Service allows you to manage a set of containers that are deployed on top of virtual machines in our cloud. So you can quickly deploy these containers, they can run your app for you, and you can manage scaling up, scaling down, and because containers are nearly instantaneous, it quickly changes, quickly goes up and down, and you don't have to manage anything. And our support with containers is completely 100% open source. Very, very unique approach. We've used DCOS, which is a fully open source solution from Mesosphere, and we use Docker Swarm, fully open source from the Docker team. And so this enables you to choose without any fear of any kind of lock-in, any fear that you're going to be stuck. You can deploy here with the exact same experiences. You can deploy on-prem using the exact same Docker tooling that you're using here. Today we support Linux. We have Windows support on the way, and Azure and Azure Stack support coming as well. So let me actually show you what this looks like. And so what I'm going to start with, which may surprise you, is my first demo today is actually going to be on a Mac showing you Linux VMs. So that's a little bit of a different take on a Microsoft presentation. So what I wanted to start here is I want to show you just a little bit for those who may not be as familiar with Docker and what it can do. I wanted to show just a little bit of what Docker containers really are. So here on my Mac, I'm just running, and let's say I want to go build something or try something. I want to go basically deploy something and see how it goes. So I'm running Docker here, and so let's just see, I don't have anything running. Good. Okay. And so for this, a very, very simple example, again, right on my Mac here, I'm going to go spin up a Docker container. And so what I'm doing here, I'm actually pulling down Ubuntu. So I'm pulling down Linux right now on my machine, and I'm going to run a shell here. And what this shell is going to do is it's going to do a little bit of a calculation here. Well, true, so it's just going to kind of go forever. And so I'm going to echo hello world. Okay. And this is going to run in the background. Sleep, and then I'll be done. Okay. Yep. Thanks. Okay. I think that's right. Let's see if it's going to pull it down. See what my network connectivity looks like. All right. So one of the things that Docker does great in situations like this is I'm trying to run Ubuntu. So this is an Ubuntu image that I basically deployed. And I want it to, network timed out. I want it to connect to my network here. Let's see. Let me try one more time here. It looks like it's up. So what this would normally do is it would connect to the network, and it would basically pull down this Ubuntu image, right? So it would pull down directly from this repository that's been set up to make me able to run this shell. So it looks like it may not be working. So what this ends up doing, it basically will run in the background. And the beautiful part about this is it spins up amazingly fast, very, very agile, very quick, and launches this full OS. This full VM, basic VM, but as a container. And I can run the app right in there. Okay, but let me actually go to the Azure Container Service. So you can imagine, which may or may not work based on network connectivity. So we'll give it a go here. We'll see what happens. Let's see. Oh, well, maybe it is going to work. We'll see. All right. So here, what you can do with Azure, the Azure Container Service allows you to spin up a set of virtual machines that then will manage these containers. So if they're spinning up that quickly, and they're starting and stopping and starting and stopping, it's going to be hard to manage them. And this is what the container service can do. So just as a quick example, if I go into the portal and want to create a container service, I go in and, of course, I set my username. Uh-oh. Let's see. And I would go into the portal experience and connect here and set up the username and configure the container service. Let's see. not promising here. All right. Seems fine. Yeah, seems good. Yeah, let's try it here. Oh, it looks like it just has to reconnect here. Well, give me a minute here. It's a very secure connection, so it's gonna call my cell phone here. So this is another part of the demo, everyone. Showing you two-factor auth right here live. So this will presumably log me in here. So there it goes, gonna call my phone here. Let's see. This is a test, guys. What do we think? You think it's gonna work? We'll see. It's calling me. Uh-oh, it rings. I'm not gonna tell you guys my PIN. That's not part of the demo. All right. So it looks like I'm in. All right. Small wins. This is good so far. All right. Very good. Okay. So it looks like I'm connected in here. Let me go back here. Just get this. Okay. All right. Oh, this is working. Let's see if this works. All right. So you can see very easily I can go in and I can create a container service. And so if I hit create here, and I walk through this, it'll give me a set of options. And it'll give me a set of options that allow me to go in and configure it. It'll configure my basic settings. It'll ask for my SSH connectivity into the machine. It will also allow me to choose between DCOS and Swarm for the type of deployment that I want to deploy. And so these are the two open source solutions we have for managing Docker containers. And so I happen to have one actually up and running. And so here is one running in my account. And this is running Marathon. So this is DCOS. And so the key thing here, this is fully open source. So this is actually built by a partner of ours called Mesosphere. And they have built this solution. And we now enable it as part of a service on Azure. So what I've done here, I've actually created a little app. So I've got a set of containers here, analyzer, folder, microscaling, and producing. And so what I've done is I'm going to just spin this up here and start the app up. And so I'll scale this up to 1, and this will actually start my app up. Okay? And so that's deploying. You see, okay, it's up and running. Just to show you how fast that was, if you missed it, that container's up and running. It's now spinning up the rest of the app. And so because this is open source, another partner that we worked with, a startup called Microscaling in a Box, or Microscaling Systems, has a technology that allows you to take advantage of spare capacity. It's one of the biggest things that people look for when they look at containers. They want to understand, great, I have an app. It may scale up and down, right? I don't know. But when I'm not up, should I scale back the VMs? Well, sometimes yes, but sometimes maybe I want to be ready. And so instead, I'll scale back the containers, because containers start so fast. And in the meantime, I'll do other work. And so what I've set up here is I've got a job that's running. And so I've got this producer of work, and it's doing a job. And then I've got an analyzer that's reading from a queue and taking that work and working on it. And the rest of my space, I'm doing this additional job, which is called folding. And this is something very interesting that's come out of Stanford. They are doing this ability for people to take advantage of unused capacity by folding genes. And this is effectively research that's sending back to Stanford that allows them to try and cure cancer. So here in this room, during this demo, we are all working together to cure cancer. So thank you all for that. So what you can see here, I've got two containers running right now that don't have any work to do because I haven't started the work. So that's this bottom dark line. And then I've got a bunch, 8, that are running that are doing this cancer work, right? They're taking up this extra space. So if I go back over to Marathon and just show you, now I want to actually start my producer, and this guy's going to do the actual work. And so I'll say, let's say 3, okay? And so again, incredibly fast, he'll start up. And there's 3, they're already up and running. And so now if you come over here, and let me try and make sure you can see this, you can see the red line. So the red line is the work that's coming up now. So this producer has started to create work, and when it hits 50, this tool says, uh-oh, we better scale. So it hits 50, and you'll see now that the analyzer starts going up, and the folding app comes away. And so just like that, amazingly fast, this is reacting to the capacity needs of the system. And so we're doing less of that extra spare work, and we're doing the real work because it hit 50, the capacity was there, and we need to do it. And you can see it's amazing how fast it responds to this. And let me actually show you what's happening here on Marathon. You can see the reactions of Marathon here. The analyzer and folder scaling up and down, see deploying and updating, adding more containers, and then they're done. And this is really the power of containers. It's how fast this is happening, right? You could never spin up VMs that fast. And so it enables this very quick response. And this is all with Marathon enabling that open source solution to make those changes almost instantaneously. So this is, again, this new power, this new agility that the cloud is offering. And very exciting that the network worked. All right. Right? All right. Oh, let's go back here. Okay. So that was the Azure Container Service. That was DCOS running it. This is generally available as of right now, this week. I had them ship it just because I was coming here. So you should go use it or it would be insulting to me. No, just kidding. All right, let me... Does guilt work? I think guilt works. Okay, let me move up the stack a little bit. So let me move into the platform as a service portion and spend a little bit of time talking about some of these offerings here. So first, microservices. Next generation of application. We have Service Fabric, and this enables you to deploy much smaller components with independent updates. And I'll show an example of this later. Existing services and frameworks. This is if you're .NET, if you're Java, being able to deploy in a PaaS-like environment with automated controls. Web and mobile apps. Very, very easy, very simple to deploy quickly web and mobile solutions. And then, of course, serverless. This recently went preview in Azure Functions. And so with the whole set of these, from top to bottom, from App Service, Azure Functions, Service Fabric, and Cloud Services, we offer a wide variety of solutions, whether you're building web mobile apps, whether you want more event-based solutions from Azure Functions, microservices from Service Fabric, and then existing frameworks. And so let me kind of walk through a few of these. Existing frameworks. Cloud Services, this is actually our oldest service in Azure. This has been around since the beginning. It is really focused on PaaS with VM control. And so it's simple .NET applications, simple runtime to go right to. It's got built-in health, discovery and updates, and automatic OS patching. So a very simple platform as a service offering, but also very exciting. And we see a lot of customers continue to use this and build solutions on top of it. Again, focused on .NET. We also have from existing frameworks a set of great partners to be able to build PaaS solutions, Java with Cloud Foundry, OpenShift, of course, Java and Red Hat. Jlastic also is a great Java platform. And then Apprenda, both .NET and Java, more focused on on-prem-based deployments. And so these existing solutions, OSS-based, offers a lot of versatility to deploy platform as a service in Azure. Web and mobile. This is the most popular service that we have in Azure, which is the Azure App Service. And that's because of how simple and quick you can get a website up. Within a matter of seconds, you can get a website up and running and deploy your app and be on your way. So whether it be websites, you want to use a CMS-based solution, Umbraco, you want to build in event-based solutions, which I'll talk about next. You want to build mobile applications. You want to build push notification built in directly into this web app. All of this comes together in a single experience. In addition to Logic Apps, which gives you a workflow experience to be able to visually go manage how your application will respond to events. So all of these things come together to spin up very, very fast web applications. And that can be both for external facing web apps. It can also be for internal line of business apps as well. And so very, very capable, powerful system. So one that's recently been announced and released is serverless. And so what this means Serverless is the ability to take this code that you have, this code that you run, and be able to simplify how you manage and how you run it. So when you've got code and you've got events, and that code only runs with a given event, with Azure Functions, you can combine the two of them and effectively make a fully event-based programming solution. So an action happens and code runs. And you only pay for the running of that code at that one moment. So very powerful to be able to run event-based solutions that can sprinkle across all of the other application solutions you've got. And so Azure Functions, just recently in preview, fully serverless, triggers on events in Azure or from external components. You pay only for the execution. It's got built-in C# and JavaScript support, and the runtime is fully open source. So let me actually show you what that looks like. Okay. And so here I've actually got one up and running, and so it's very easy to get started, very, very quick for you to get launched here with Azure Functions. So I'm actually going to skip that step since it is so easy and kind of jump right in. So I've got Azure Functions up here and running. All right. Let's actually zoom out just a little bit. Zoomed in too far. Okay. And so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new function with timer. And so this is basically creating a cron job. So it's going to run at a specific time. Okay. And so here you can see, let's see here, let's zoom out a little bit. There we go. And so you can see here, I'm going to skip this. I can just start coding. So this is a cron job. It's just running. You can see it's actually already running down here. I can go into integrate here and actually change the time. So I'm going to run it actually every 5 seconds. And so I'll save that. And so this is going to run every 5 seconds. And you can see it's already running. Pretty simple function here. Okay. So what I want to do is I actually want to drop this into a queue. Okay. And so I'm going to go ahead and put as output a queue. Okay, so storage queue, and this will select, and then I can go and select this storage account that I want to use, and I've already got one set up. Okay, and let me save that, and so if I want to go right to that queue, I've got to come in here, and I can now write a little bit of code. So I want to take context. And bindings. Now, this is built in directly into Azure Functions. You can see I'm in the portal experience. I'm coding directly in here. And I can write these bindings, which will allow me to directly output to that queue. Okay? And so here, I'll go ahead and do this. I'm going to just write a quick message here, again, with a hello world. Okay? And then timestamp, and then that should be good. Oh, close it out there. Okay. And save it, and it should immediately start running for me. Changed, reloading. Okay. And now let me actually go to my storage account. Click on this. And so you can see already it's running. So this is my queue. So now I've taken every 5 seconds, and this runs directly into my queue. Okay. And now, let's say I wanted to do one that actually reads from that queue. Let me actually pull this up here. Well, actually, let me actually move to something a little bit more fun. I think we're in for some fun here. So in addition to being able to take every 5 seconds and run, you can also react based on something else happening in your surroundings. And so you can make it read from a storage account, and when a change happens to that storage account, take an action. You can have it read from Event Hub. So you can imagine an IoT service firing, and this function will immediately run and do some code and take action. So here I've got a code that is running, and it's what it does is it actually reads from storage and resizes an image. And so let me go in here, and why don't I go, and I've got sample images here, and I'm going to go ahead and upload an image, and it's called What I Learned in Peru, okay? And so this is going to upload, and let me actually go over here and make sure that we're watching it. So you can see here, it's not running. Okay, oh, there we go, function started, the image got in. So the image got uploaded, it immediately detected it, and it ran. And again, it ran for just a few seconds. That's all you paid for. And it was based on this activity, this event that happened somewhere else. And it did this work, and so hopefully it resized. Let's see. Let me go back here and refresh my blob containers. Oh, there we go. Look at that. So medium. So it looks like it resized into both medium and small, so that action happened. And I'll go ahead and look at this. Okay. So view. And so what I learned in Peru, see? Ah, Pisco Sours. All right, let's go back. All right, so the last section to talk a little bit about here is microservices. So microservices is a new way of developing. It's a new way of thinking about applications. You take these monolithic, these large applications, and you split them up into very precise actions, very isolated actions. And it makes it very easy for you to update them individually and independently. And in Azure, we offer somewhat of a set of choices with microservices. All sitting on top of virtual machines, you can run either with a container service or service fabric. And the container service is composable. You saw already what I could do with it. I can put apps on it. I can deploy pretty much whatever I want. It allows me to build my own solution in any way I want to, open source, what have you. Service Fabric is Azure's platform to be able to offer a prescriptive microservice model. So this is one we've been using internally for years, actually up to 5 years. SQLDB runs on this. DocDB runs on this. Cortana runs on this. Skype for Business runs on this. It is a platform that we've built internally to support our needs, and we're finally releasing it. And so this just went generally available about a month ago. And it is a fully built-in platform. You can write to this, you put your health model to this, and it will take care of everything for you. And so this microservice model, it allows both stateful and stateless microservices. You can write .NET to it. We'll be able to support Java and Linux as well. And of course, this will run in all of our hybrid environments over time. Whether it be on top of Azure, Azure Stack, you can even run it on-prem. A wide variety of customers using this today, whether it be Fidelity or Schneider Electric, BMW, and of course, even some startups, like Age of Ascent, a video game that's written completely on Service Fabric, which I'm going to show you very briefly right now. And this will be it, I promise. Then you can... Oh, who wants a Pisco Sour now? It's kind of looks good. All right. So let me actually go on here and get this game going here. All right. And so I've got this game running, and so this is running all on Service Fabric here. So you can see, I'm not very good at this game. So you can see here, this is a great example of it's running in completely in a web browser, and all of these ships are microservices. So they're all their own microservice running. They're all individually running and going and driving around. And so if I actually show this here in the Explorer, you can see I've got a huge amount of microservices deployed. And I've got a set from social, training drones, avatar, Bifrost, all of these guys running here. And these are all microservices, so dark matter, handling the account, my ship, et cetera. And so here, you can see in Visual Studio, I've got that same list of microservices here to the right. Hive and government and all of those. And Visual Studio natively understands each one of those. And so if I want to go in and make an update just to one, I don't want to update anything in this system but one of those microservices. And let's say I go to my training drone and do that. Okay. Oops. That's not where I want to go. I want to go here. Okay, and I want to do this, and I basically want to change this game so that I can be a little bit better. So I'm going to change the starting health of the bad ships to be less so that I can win at something. So let me do this. I don't win it much, if you could tell. I know. So I'm starting at the zero because I basically want to get a little bit of a head start here. And so I can build this right here. So I'll go ahead and rebuild the system. And then because I've locked down the endpoint, I'm going to deploy this update using PowerShell. So here, let me just deploy this right now. Okay. And so let me go back. Oops. Here. Look, I've already got an update rolling. So let me show this update rolling here. Okay. And then I've got to go back to the game. Uh-oh. Where's the game? Oh, here we go. So I got to go back to the game. And so, great. So I've done this update, and I've got this rollout happening. And I built in a health system so that if something goes wrong, it'll automatically roll back. So I built in a model so that when an update's happening and I did something wrong, which apparently I did, so you can see it went red, and the ships are all exploding. That's not the change that I wanted. So apparently the ships are all exploding. Apparently zero wasn't the right thing to deploy. Of course, I didn't test it, but like Scott Hanselman always says, I don't test a lot, but when I do, I test in production. And what you've seen here is, first of all, I made this catastrophic failure. Only the ships that were updated are impacted. I'm still here. You can see the control plane is still here. All the surrounding area is still. Nothing else was updated. That's the power of microservices. Just those ships were updated. Now, the power of Service Fabric is the fact that the health model detected the problem, automatically failed it, went red in the screen, and automatically rolled back. So it's fixed. I've been standing. I did nothing. It fixed itself, it rolled it back, it said this was wrong, and now the system's up. And with this many microservices and those many updates and that many developers in your team, this is the power of microservices. One update, screwed up completely, automatically fixed, and away I go. And so that's fantastic to be able to offer that. And so, you know, this game, fun game, you can see actually all the names here. Scott Goode's here, so I can beat him up. Guthrie's here, Nadella, so I can fire at him. Looks like someone found me, though, so that wasn't supposed to happen. Well, looks like Scott got me here. You can't really see it. Anyway, it said Scott Guthrie below that. All right. So let me wrap up here. And so that's the power of Service Fabric. That's the power of microservices. So all up, I've walked you through a set of capabilities on infrastructure, a set of capabilities on platform as a service, and hopefully explained when you use these and how you use these. The combination is really pretty endless. The types of apps you can write and the type of power that you can get from small to large, from single events to huge virtual machines. And this all comes together to offer the full Azure platform from compute and data, infrastructure, and tools. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I've been great. It's been great here. And thank you. Uh-oh, we got one last thing here. Okay, here we go. So this is, appreciate you guys for welcoming me so much in Peru, so this is what I agreed to do. All right. I didn't need network connectivity for that one. No. Thank you guys very much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Of course.